on this subject, and I am trying to walk in it better than I have in the past. And I understand that, you know, we know a lot of things that are said in the Word, but many times we don't walk in those things. And, you know, the Bible is very specific when it says, be doers of the Word, and not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And sometimes we think that just because we come on Sundays and some Wednesdays, that everything is hunky-dory. Well, God has paid a very big price for our salvation. And when we came to Jesus, we say, you are our Lord, Savior, Master. We bowed our knee to him, and we say, I am yours. And many of us, after we did that, we went on our merry way doing our thing. And we wonder why Jesus doesn't do more things in our lives and through us. You know, the army recruits men and women to be active in the protection of our country and other countries. And usually when you sign up, or you're drafted, whichever way it works, you have to go through boot camp. The Christian walk works in a similar way. It's no different. You see in the Bible where many were called for certain things, and yet just because they were called didn't mean that they jumped with all four getting busy. Jesus spent 30 years preparing for 3.5 years of ministry. The Apostle Paul spent 10 or 12 years before taking his first missionary trip. Moses spent 40 years in the palace of Egypt and then 40 more years in the wilderness before being used of God for 40 years. David was anointed by Samuel. And it took 12, 14 years before he even became king. And we think that God can use us for mighty things just right after salvation without being prepared. God wants to prepare the man before he launches him in ministry. Why? Because he's after character. And when most of us got born again, our character had a lot to be changed. But if every one of us has received Jesus as our Savior, then we're part of the kingdom. And we have a destiny. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And with that plan comes authority, and we have been given it. But how many of you know that, you know, somebody can give us an AK-47 and throw us out in the field and say, go and protect us? You know, you have to learn how to use that rifle. You can wait for the enemy thinking you got it all, and you got your safety on, and when the crucial time comes in, the thing doesn't shoot. What's wrong with this thing? You haven't gone through the time of preparation. So this is going to take a few Sundays, because it's not an everyday information, and it is not supposed to stay here. I mean, you have probably heard all the scriptures that I'm going to talk about, but they need to come from here to become part of us here and change our character and define who we are in us. We don't need to prove to anyone else. We need to know ourselves, who we are in Christ. What is the authority that has been given to me as a child of God? So I'm going to start with some scriptures that you're familiar with. I'm going to start with the book of Ephesians, chapter, and I'm going to be brief today. I realize that it's kind of late. I'm going to try to be very brief, but I want to start this series with a challenge to all of us. The book of Ephesians, okay, come on, there you go. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to the church in Ephesus, and it is a very deep book. There's a lot of truths that we need to learn, so it'll be great if you start reading maybe daily, at least the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, on a daily basis as we go through all of this. So that it starts from, first be familiar with it if you're not, but then it starts from knowing it to knowing it. And there's a difference. So let's read. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15, it starts saying, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul is praying for the Ephesian church, and by extension, he's praying in our behalf as well. And this is a prayer. Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." That's a great prayer, and I'm trying to pray it every day. A few weeks ago, I spoke on God's highest desire for us, and that is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we would have the character of Christ. And so, along with that, I summarize and personalize a few prayers and that are written in the Bible and promises that have to do with us realizing who we are in Christ. And if you miss that, if you're not aware of it, there are copies out in the foyer. You can pick one up and pray at least once a day that sheet. I mean, it takes, 3 minutes to say that prayer? I usually take 10 to 15 minutes because I want to meditate on every aspect of my declaration. We need to remember that when God at the beginning created the heavens and the earth, he didn't think it, he spoke it. And we are being made in his image. And God wants us to speak, to declare, to speak out. And then when we declare things and we believe in those things, then things happen. We can think all we want and it all stays in our head. When we declare it, you go a different level. And we need to get to that level. So Paul prayed this prayer, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know, first of all, what is the hope of the call of God in our lives? And then what are the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have in Christ? And then that we may know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. So there is power that has been given. That word power, maybe the right word to use is authority. By the way, we apologize for the heat today. One of the ACs decided not to work. But that will not deter us from the purpose today. God still has the upper hand. So, Paul prays this prayer in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Then in chapter 3, there's another prayer from Paul. I guess the Ephesians needed the prayer, and so do we. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, he prays again. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, in the real you, in your heart, that you be strengthened, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So Paul is praying here. The Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and that's a prayer that we take seriously because it applies to us as well. Again, these two prayers are personalized in the sheet that is in the table in the front. So these prayers are for us today as well, not just for the Ephesians. We should be praying for them daily. If we want to grow spiritually, we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation of Christ and his word into us. And not just for us to memorize the scripture. That's a great thing, and that's a big step to memorize scripture. But we don't want it just as, I know it here, but I need to know it in reality. I live those scriptures. That's what we want. And for that to happen, we need to pray, we need to read, and we need to meditate on these scriptures on a regular basis. And the best way is to memorize this scripture, say them, and as we say them, we take time and meditate. What are they saying? What are they saying that I have? What can I claim? What can I walk in today that these scriptures tell me that I can? And so, this is the intent of this study. But we're going to go back briefly to the beginning in Genesis. Don't worry, we won't get to Revelation today, so don't get panicked. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the angels. And you know that one of the angels, actually, an archangel, Lucifer, rebelled against God's rulership. And he was cast down from heaven into earth. And then, in an unknown period of time, God then decides to beautify earth after Satan had been there making a mess out of it. He beautifies, he fills the earth, he makes animals, he makes plants, trees, mountains, valleys, oceans, rivers. And then he creates man right in the earth where he had cast down Lucifer. And then God takes man and gives him authority over the earth, over all the earth. You see, we were made in God's image. God rules the universe. And he says, I'm going to make man in my image. And I'm going to put him to rule the earth. So we became the God of this earth with a little g. We are in charge of earth now. In fact, I want you to turn to, I know I wasn't going to do this, but I need to. Psalm 8. I'll look it up for you. Psalm 8. David says, starting with verse 3. Sorry, I didn't put it on the projection. It was a last minute thing. David says in Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? David is in awe of how much authority and honor God has given to man on the earth. And then he says in verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now you know that the scriptures were translated from Hebrew and Greek. When they translated here that God made man a little lower than the angels, the original word for angels is Elohim. Elohim is one of the names of God, the all-powerful. So this scripture is telling us not that we are lower than the angelic beings, we're just a little lower than God himself. And you know, that brings a great, even a much greater wonder about how much God cares for us. Now, we're not gods. We'll never be a god as the definition of God Almighty. But we have been entrusted with the care of earth. And with the entrusting of the care comes authority. And so David is saying, you made man just a little below you. Of course, we're not omnipotent, we're not omniscient, we're not omnipresent, but all the other attributes of God may be working in each one of us. And God wants us to be doing on earth what he does, what he's always done, being God. And so this privilege that God has given man when he created man and put him on the earth, right where Satan was bound for a certain period of time, and God wanted to raise us up. And you wonder, why would God do that? Why would God put his greatest creation in a place where one of his rebel angels was dwelling, was punished, sent on earth? And I think the answer is, God wants to show through mankind his plan and his purpose for all of us. How much he loves us, how much he trusts in us, and then how much authority he has given us so that we can exercise that authority over the enemy and his angels that are here on earth. It may be easy for us to live in a place, in a planet where Satan didn't have any access. We would all be serving God with no problem, but we wouldn't have a choice because we wouldn't know evil. And yet, God places here, in this earth, he creates Adam. He says, rule, reign, have dominion over the earth. Have dominion over all the things in the earth that I put in. And Adam and Eve sold out to Satan. You see, as rulers of earth, we have authority. And Adam had authority for everything that went on earth. And then Satan whispered. And they fell. And when Satan had his word established on Adam and Adam agreed with him, Adam was actually bowing his knee to the lie of Satan. And so Satan became the god of this world. And because Adam paid attention to Satan rather than God, then Adam became subject to the devil. And we became part of the kingdom of darkness. And all his descendants after him were in the same boat. Satan's kingdom. But then, the story doesn't end there. In the fullness of time, Jesus came and made it possible for us to become new creatures. In Colossians chapter, where is it? Chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. See, when we were born again, we received Jesus into our hearts. We realized we were part of darkness, a kingdom of darkness. And God, in his infinite mercy, opened our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, that we were able to see how lost we were, how sinful everything that we did involved. It was all based on sin. And we thought we were doing good, and it was not good. It was still against God. And God opened our eyes, and we saw our brokenness, our sinfulness. And then he presents Jesus to us and tells us, if you believe that Jesus died for you and paid what you need to pay, and you can't, then I'll give you life, and I will transfer you from the dominion of Satan to the kingdom of heaven. And so we passed on from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. And so that was good in itself. I was great. But then he placed man in the same position that Adam was before the fall. A man with dominion on earth, with authority on earth. You see, as parents, our greatest desire is to see our children do the things that we do and even greater things. But Jesus said, the things that I do, you will do, and even greater things, because I go to my Father. See, Jesus came here, he showed us how to do things, and then he went to the Father and sat and watched you and I perform like little Jesus on the earth. Well, he's not getting a good picture, because we're not imitating Jesus very well. The world that we are responsible for is in a big mess. Not that we are going to straighten it out, but we are not even exercising the authority within our spheres of influence. You know, our home is a place that even the government can't come in and tell you what to do. And it should be a place where Satan can't come and tell you what you do and what you don't do. This, if we belong to Jesus, we have authority in our home. And even you know, I don't go to your house and correct your children. That's your job. What happens in your house, you do. But in my house, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's my choice. That's our decision. And the enemy has no right. We tell him to go, and he has to. Not if, no when, he has to. There's no way around it. So, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been conveyed, transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, as children of God belonging to King Jesus, we have been liberated from the rule of Satan, which had control over us. However, this doesn't just happen automatically. You know, I know you've seen policemen out in the street, and sometimes they park their cars, they go into an intersection, and there's traffic going, you know, every which way, and they're in their uniform, and they raise their hands to a semi-truck. You see, in themselves, they don't have the power to stop that truck. But they have delegated authority backed up by the government of this nation. And so we recognize that authority. And when the policeman says stop, we listen and we obey. And that simple gesture stops semis, cars, motorcycles. You know, if they were working on their own, they would get run over very quickly. It would be shish kebab. But they have been delegated authority. And this is what this series is going to talk about. You and I have authority. But that authority needs to be exercised. You can be the leader of your house, but if you don't exercise your authority, somebody else is going to lead your house. So there's two things. You have to have knowledge of your authority, and then you have to act on that authority. I want to conclude with this scripture for today. Where is it? Well, I thought I had it here. Let me see if I find it. Hold on. Ha! Yes. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hosea is preaching, is ministering as a prophet to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And he says, Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. So he's speaking to God's people. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. In other words, people were just doing their thing. They were not minding God. They didn't even know. They forgot or they never studied to see what God wanted them to do. And then he says this in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I like to say the church is being overcome for lack of knowledge. I would say lack of knowledge in one point, and then those who have knowledge, we're not acting on it the way we should. You cannot act on what you don't know. I can put $1,000 in your checking account, and if you don't know it's there, you will never benefit from it, though it's yours. Belongs to you. We have been given great and precious promises by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are completely oblivious to them many times. And, you know, we treat the enemy like we have to ask permission for him to leave. No. So, during the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at what authority do we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and find out what he expects us to be doing to exercise that authority here on earth, on our areas of influence, on our sphere of influence. We all have one. And so, we will be looking at that. We're stopping here today, but I want to say in closing, to have the authority of Jesus, you need to belong to Jesus. You cannot be part of the kingdom of darkness and expect to have authority over Satan. It doesn't work like that. So if you have not made Jesus your Savior, we can help. And so as we close, if you have a desire to become a member of the kingdom of light, we can help you. Father, I thank you for the way you have shown just a glimpse of the kingdom that you have brought us into. Lord, you said that the kingdom is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray that righteousness and peace and joy would abound in our lives on a daily basis. And Father, that we may be enlightened to know the things that you have so freely given us for us to exercise the authority over the things that come our way against what you have given us. And Lord, we pray that as our hearts are enlightened, that we may act on that authority on a daily basis. Father, I pray for everyone here, those that have a desire to become everything you have called, each one of us. Lord, may our eyes be open and may our hearts be molded and shaped and our acknowledgement of what you have given us become a reality, that we may do your will on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I bless your people and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see you at 2:00. If we need prayer for anything else, we're here for a little while.